You know, the scriptures say that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we have all kind of concepts about the devil and how he works. And religion, for the most part, has made all of the workings of the devil, of his design, plan, intent, and purpose, as something outside of us. Yet if you understand really how the devil operates, you begin to discover, as the light of God unveils within you his Spirit and his Christ, you will begin to have an unveiling that the devil is not a force outside of you, but he is mingled within the very essence of your consciousness. There are only two men mentioned in the Bible, and all of humanity expresses the life of one of these two men. And these two men are Adam and Christ. And the devil works all of his workings through the flesh, or through the Adamic man, through the Adamic consciousness. But the word clearly reveals to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last Adam, meaning Christ, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit, or a spirit that would give you life. And it's interesting to note that it says the last Adam. In 1 Corinthians, we see Jesus as the last Adam and the second man. So that's why I say there are only two men in the universe. Right today, there are only, you see, Christ is a corporate man. It's a bunch of individuals that make up a corporate new humanity on this earth. People who have the revelation of Christ in them together become God's manifestation of his Son upon the earth. An Antichrist is a corporate man who lives out of the Adamic consciousness to produce and bring forth the Antichrist upon the earth. See, we've been taught in religious circles, if you've been in religious circles, that the Antichrist is something on the outside of you. It is a man who will someday come and set up a false kingdom on this earth, bring all the kingdoms of the world under one government, and he will rule as Antichrist on the earth. And anybody that has done any Bible research and study can prove from one book in the Bible alone, the book of Daniel, that it is absolutely impossible for a man called Antichrist to set up another kingdom and take over the earth. There is only one kingdom that will take over the earth again, and that's the kingdom of God. Amen. And he does it not by outward rule and reign. He doesn't do it by legislation, by passing laws of morality. The kingdom of God overtakes the earth through the heart change of humanity. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Anytime you are living out of an Adamic consciousness, and we all, to more or less degrees, are still there, operating out of the carnal realm of humanity, the works of the devil that has been destroyed is the carnal thinking and the carnal religious mentality. Because we are not, as we shared the other night, we are not separated and alienated from God. There's very few Christians, even today, who do not feel a separateness from God. Yet Paul told the Ephesians, he says, "Be not as other Gentiles, walking in the vanity of their mind, in their human consciousness, being alienated from the life of God." You see, if you have been regenerated, if you have been quickened by the Spirit of God, you are no longer separated from God. Paul told the Corinthians, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." What does that mean? Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He that is that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, if you look at that in the King James, the first spirit is capitalized. It says, "He that is born of the Spirit," capital Spirit, Holy Spirit, "that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And it shows you a small s. that which is born of the Spirit is your spirit. Now, your spirit is something that goes far past the natural mind, the natural thinking, and the natural understanding. When you are first regenerated by God, my experience was, I did not know what happened to me. I couldn't figure it out with my mentality. But something on the inside of me had changed. And I would just weep thinking about God or being among the people of God. I would just weep, not understanding what was going on. It goes far past your mind and your natural understanding. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And the only way that you in your experience will defeat the works of the devil is to have an unveiling that you are not a mere mortal human being, but that you have been regenerated by his spirit, and now you are in reality a manifestation of God upon this earth. Because the Adamic consciousness that God came to destroy, the limited Adamic human carnal consciousness, was never meant and never intended to be godly. It's impossible for you to live as Jesus lived on the earth unless you have been born of his spirit, quickened by his life. Now, all of us have been regenerated and quickened by his life. But the problem has been, for 2,000 years, rather than learning to live by his life, his guidance within us, we have been caught up into religious activity, trying to make our carnal human nature conform to God. There's examples of this all through the Bible, the examples of Adam and Christ, the human nature and the Christ nature. You can see it in the very beginning. You can see it in Cain and Abel. Cain represented the flesh, and Abel represented the spirit. Isaac and Esau. Isaac representing the spirit, Esau the flesh, or the carnal nature. These two natures are within humanity. And you do not overcome with the carnal human thinking and the human nature. You overcome by learning how to express or to live the life of God from the spiritual realm and not from the Adamic realm. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And again, the only place the devil has any inroad into your life and mine is through the natural mind. So how could we take that which is mingled with the satanic life and take that and use it to try to overcome and live a godly life? That life is such a mixture. The carnal human thinking is such a mixture based upon the knowledge of good and evil, because we know that's what Adam and Eve partook of in the beginning. They partook of, in typology, a tree that represented good and evil. So we've been hoodwinked, those of us who have been in religion, thinking that if we're good enough, we're going to be accepted by God, but if we're not good enough, we're going to be rejected by God. So all of our Christian life is based upon a performance of being either good or evil. And we see in God's eyes that good and evil are from the same source and the same tree, and neither one of them please God. The only thing that pleases God is his Son. And when you're born again or regenerated or whatever terminology you say, whatever the terminology is, what happens to you is the life of the Son is quickened on the inside of you. And if you don't get into religious practices and you don't try to conform this old human nature and try to make it over again, if you would just rest in the Word of God and in the knowledge of God that says that upon the cross, Jesus took the sin of the world. And we can see in Hebrews that there was only one offering for sin, only one, and there will never be another offering. There is nothing you can do to offer up to God for your sin, but you do need to receive that which he has done for you. And if you have your understanding enlightened so that you know God is not trying to take your human nature and make it godly, but he wants to increase his life within you so that it overtakes the natural. And that's what it is meant when it says we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We must begin And we will, with revelation, we will begin to understand and have and take on the mind of Christ. Now, when you come to the Word, you will either receive life or death, because it's a two-edged sword. And it's meant to produce death in the right way, but the word taken with the natural mind will discourage you and kill you, because we haven't had an understanding of the two natures that's within us. And so we read the word that says, be holy as I am holy, and we look at ourselves in our Adamic nature, and we fall under condemnation, because we know we are so far short of what God requires of us. And so many Christians live their whole lifetimes in condemnation because they haven't understood the difference between their Adamic nature and Christ. Because they're both on the inside of you. If you understand that your Adamic nature was never meant to be holy, it will only be what it is. Then, when you come to the Word and you see something that says, be holy as I am holy, you will still see that in your human nature, there is no way that you are holy. But if you understand that on the inside of you, there's two lives trying to gain the supremacy of your being. And if you realize that Christ is most holy, Christ has never been tainted by sin. And when the Word teaches that on the cross, Christ took into death the sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in reality, he cut off everything of the Adamic life. And then it says that he was raised up, the head of a brand new creation. He became a spirit to give you life. Not to bring you condemnation because you can't live up to a Christian standard. Not to make you feel bad because you're not holy. But he came to reveal to you that he is the head of a brand new creation, and that he has breathed his life into you. And if you will quit listening to the carnal reasonings, and you will quit condemning yourself, and realize that in your being, the Christ of God is there. And so again, he said, I am come not to give you a new set of rules and regulations. My goodness, they couldn't. We know that there's no way that we can perform according to the law. In fact, the teaching is, if you understand the Bible teaching on the law, it was meant to reveal to you that it's impossible for human nature to live the law of God. It's absolutely impossible. But yet we keep trying. But a further revelation of the Word is that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. And that same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same power, the same ability, the same expression, everything that he is, Paul told the Ephesians, is now resident within your consciousness, within your being. And if you will learn to turn away, and that's what repentance means, if you will learn to turn away from that consciousness that keeps you separated in your mind from the life of God in your spirit, if you will learn to turn away from that image and to focus upon what God has deposited within your being. And when God first began to reveal this to me, I had no experience, I had no knowledge of it, but I did realize the truth of Scripture. I did believe that what was in the Bible was the truth. And when it told me that you have been born again, that Jesus came to give you life, and not the old Adamic human nature made over, but a brand new life, a life that has never been tainted, a life that has never known anything but the glorious liberty of a child. I know I've been born again, but how do I come into the experience of this life overtaking my Adamic life? It's really very simple, but because it's so simple, it seems to be so difficult. You just need to believe what God says. And God says, you are not a sinner. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed the transgression of my people. He says, by one offering, I have perfected forever those that are sanctified. He said, because of this, no matter how low you feel, no matter how many habits you have, no matter how many faults you have, if you can believe what my word says, that by one offering I paid the price for sin, you can come boldly in to my presence to find grace to help in time of need. You see, that's the gospel. The religious gospel says that if you don't do this, God can't help you. If you're not obedient to God, He can't help you. But the true gospel says that no matter what your condition is, you may be a king or a prostitute, but I have paid the price for every iniquity. I laid on the cross, looked at those who crucified me, and said, Father, forgive them. On the cross, I said, it is finished. You don't need to add one thing to what has been finished. You simply need to begin to walk in the revelation of the living and abiding Word of God. It has absolutely nothing to do with human effort. It takes just a little bit of ability to believe. Can you possibly believe what this word says? Because, see, for 2,000 years, we've been given religion that teaches opposite from what the Scriptures really say. And we have been given a double-tongued gospel for years. And even our Scriptures, to some degree, has been perverted in their translations to make us think that God is some evil, horrible person, that if you don't do what He says, you're going to be tortured for all of eternity. And then you wonder why people don't flock to churches. I often tell people sometimes, your God is worse than Hitler. Hitler gassed how many millions of Jews? But you say that your God is going to take 90% of humanity and torture them forever. That God is a monster. But God today is revealing the love, the unsurmountable, unsurpassing love He has for His creation. And no, that doesn't mean that you can live any way you want to. You're going to do it anyway. But simply what it means is that God loves you enough. He died for you. And He died for you not to leave you in the condition that you're in. But He loves you enough that He will raise up any kind of circumstances that needs to be raised up to make you understand that you need Him more than you need life itself. You see, creation story is about a God who loves so much. And people even have the wrong concept of why Jesus came. They teach in religious circles that God was so angry when Adam and Eve sinned that He was going to have to torture the whole world. So He was so angry, he had to appease His anger some way. So He sent His own Son on the cross, and He killed Him to appease His anger. So that if you're good, you might be saved. But there's a parable that really reveals to us. Jesus talks about, you know, sending His Son into the vineyard, and He says, surely they will appreciate my Son. But He says, wicked and slothful men took Him and killed Him. It wasn't about God having His anger appeased. He sent His Son into the world to reveal His loveliness and His goodness. But wicked and slothful men took Him and killed Him. The crucifixion was about the love of God. And Jesus had, you know, just like today, we're having a terrible time with the scribes and Pharisees of our day. But He told them, He said, you know, you don't really know God. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. Because when you come to me, I am saying things and I am doing things that are contrary to your Old Testament Scriptures. And you think that I'm changing the Word of God. You think that I'm of the devil because I'm telling you that some of the things that you believe that are written in your Old Testament Scriptures, you reject me because you think that's where life is, but you won't come to me. You won't hear the cry and the plea in my heart. You won't let me unveil and reveal to you the love of my Father. I know what your Scriptures say. They say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but you listen to me. That's not my Father. Because I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to those who despitefully use you. I know what your Scriptures say, but you listen to me. How in the world can you do? I mean, no wonder they killed Him. And see, we're doing the same thing today. I know what your King James Bible says, but you better listen to the voice of the Spirit. Because God wants to bring you such a revelation and such an unveiling of His love. And He wants to quicken you by the power of His Spirit and the power of His Word that will cause you to stand and to shake yourself and shake off the dust of your humanity and your carnality. And he is speaking forth a word that will cause your spirit to arise and that will overtake the carnality and the unfaithfulness. And it causes you to stand in the glory and in the ability and in the power of his life. It's not a religious gospel, folks. This is life and death. Religion has so covered over the gospel. We all experience these two men, Adam and Christ. One of them is going to gain supremacy. One of them, the good Adam, the religious Adam, he's going to work and work and work and try to perform this gospel. And all he's going to come in to by doing that is condemnation. And he's not going to understand how for years I have tried to be godly and failed. I have done everything under the sun that I know to do. And I come before God and I'm still rejected. Because that's not what God wants. Cain was the first example of that. It says Cain worked the ground. And I'm sure he brought the very best his hands could produce and offered it to God and was rejected. And we do the same thing today in our carnal nature. We do everything we can possibly do to make ourselves feel justified before God. And he rejects it. Because he's not interested in Adam. He is interested in Christ. And Christ is in you. And if you will stop all of your religious activity, and you will stop all of the condemnation and all of the guilt, and realize the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was manifested to destroy that image of Adam that's in your consciousness. It's not about destroying things outside of you. As we shared the other night, the parable of the sower, that who sowed good seed in his field, and then the enemy came along and sowed the tare. The Adamic consciousness, the Adamic nature is the tare. It's not about good people and bad people, the righteous and the sinner. These things are all in your human consciousness. And God in these days, that's why the gospel is such a wonderful message, because the tare in you is being consumed by the power of his word. God told Jeremiah, I will put my words in your mouth and they will be like a fire that will burn up the stubble. Well, the stubble is the tear. The stubble is your human consciousness. The stubble is the disobedience and the rebellion, and everything in your being that's antichrist will be consumed by the power of his word, if you can believe what he says. If you have had the revelation, if you've had the quickening, have you been regenerated and do you know it? If you know that you know that you know that God has at least one time in your life quickened you by his spirit, then you can rest assured that the Christ of God is now abiding within you. But see, that's the pearl of great price. And you have to seek for that. And you have to seek for that. And you have to seek for that until one day the revelation comes to you. Like the Apostle Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, not up there. But in me, once you have the revelation of Christ in you, you have the most wonderful message to bring to humanity. It's not a religious message. It has nothing to do with right and wrong, good and evil. The whole world has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Do you remember in Acts, before Peter went to the Gentiles? You know, in the Jews' mind, even after Jesus resurrected from the dead, in the Jews' mind, they were the people of God and the Gentiles were the sinners. They were alien. They were separated from God. And so God wanted Peter to go to the Gentiles, but he knew Peter's concept that he would never go. So he gave him a vision. And in the vision, there were all kinds of creatures and critters, and a voice came to him and said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, Lord. You know, I couldn't do that. Peter could never have went to the Gentiles if he hadn't understood the heart of God. But the voice came to him and said, Peter, what I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. You see, we look at the world out here and we see the righteous and the sinner. We see the good and the bad. And we call them such. And we tell them they're horrible sinners and they got to do this. But God says, what I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. So you have to have a different vision for humanity. You can't see them, some of them, as washed in the blood and some of them as not. You can't see some of them cleansed and some of them not. They're not all aware of it, of course. They're not all walking in the loveliness of his character, but they have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you ever call the worst, vilest sinner common or unclean, because the Spirit of the living God will say to you, what I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. You go to them with my loveliness. You go to them in the power of the Spirit, in the liberating word of my Spirit. And you will impart to them who I am. And you then will experience what has been done for them 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with good and evil. Adam will always be either good or evil. Your human consciousness will always either excuse or condemn you. Your very own conscience will either excuse or condemn you. But there's something way beyond the human consciousness that resides within. And once that is awakened on the inside of you, and once you realize that you are not just a mere human being struggling to be godly, but you are once again a manifestation of his life upon the earth. You see, that's why I tell people wherever I go, this is not a teaching. You can't teach people this. They must have a revelation of Christ in them. And all you need to do is spend some time in God's presence, and he'll give you this revelation. He says, if any man will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. But see, your religious mind will cast you out. Your religious leaders will cast you out. Your preachers will tell you you're not good enough. Look at what you're doing. Some of you are smoking. Some of you are drinking. Some of you are selling your bodies. You can't come to God. You can't enter into God's presence like that. I got news for him. I was like that, and I would still be like that if I hadn't have understood the gospel. And know that as bad as I am, I can enter into his presence to find grace to help in time of need. Because he does not look at me as common and unclean. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And no matter how I feel about myself, that is not reality. No matter how bad in my eyes I am, that is not the truth. The truth is that God, by the power of his Spirit, has quickened me and given me life. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual. So I need to learn how to get to spirit. I need an unveiling. I need an understanding. Lord, how do I live by the power of your Spirit rather than my Adamic consciousness? Nobody can teach you that but God. And he certainly will. When I began to have an unveiling to some of these things, and it's only been since about 1983, my life began to change so drastically. Because I realized I didn't have to perform or try to make this human personality called Gary Sigler. I did not need to clean him up to make him presentable before God. I simply needed to believe his word. But his word had been clouded. You know, my mind had been confused because I spent many years trying to find him in religion and trying to do everything that the religious people told me I had to do. You can't blow smoke in the face of Jesus and make it into heaven. They would tell me, you know? And a homosexual? Even the word says, oh, don't have anything to do with them. You have to understand, God today, more than ever before, is bringing an unveiling and a revealing of his heart towards. I had someone it's been a couple of months ago, say to me that they had been delivered from homosexuality through this word. Because once you understand the truth, once you understand that God loves you unconditionally, and that no matter how bad you are, with just a little bit of faith, you can enter into his presence and you can begin to commune with him. You begin to worship him. You begin to sing to him. You begin to release that's on the inside of you. If any man come to me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So don't look at what you are in your human nature. Realize that Christ on the inside of you is the overcomer. Christ on the inside of you is higher than the heavens. He's undefiled. And if you will fellowship and you will worship God, you may be homosexual king, doesn't matter what you are, but God will begin to arise from the very essence of your being. You see, that's the meaning of the scripture that says, let God arise and his enemies will be scattered. That's about God arising in your human consciousness. Peter said, let the day star dawn upon your heart. He said, we seen Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration be transformed before our very eyes. But he said, we have a more sure word than that, because that was his experience. And we can wonder and, you know, watching other people and their experience. But Peter said, you take heed to the word until the day star arise in your heart. That's a more sure word of prophecy than watching Jesus himself be transfigured before you. Because what he is, we are. As he is in this world, so are we, the scriptures say. So that's why that all across the country this year we have been ministering mistaken identity. You see, mistaken identity simply means you don't really know who you are. You know you've been saved. You know you've been regenerated. But you still think you, in your mind, you're alienated and separated from the experience of the life that is in your spirit. And so you need a shift in consciousness. You need a shift in identity. You need to have the revelation that I am not a mere human carnal person, but I am that which God has desired throughout the ages. God's people on the earth today are nothing less than God himself once again being expressed and birthed in human nature. When the angel came to Mary and told her that Christ was to be birthed in her, all she said was, let it be unto me according to your word. And there was a day when I saw that Christ wanted to be incarnated once again in humanity, within my humanity. And a simple word like, Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word. Lord, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard in my life. God, how I long for a revelation of Christ in me. I've struggled for years and failed and failed. But one little glimpse of Christ in you and his glory will deliver you from the workings of the flesh. And that's what God is bringing to his people today. There are untold thousands of people sitting in churches today across the world not realizing they're lost in a mistaken identity. They don't realize that they have been redeemed. Well, you know, they know it intellectually. And most of them could probably say to you, Jesus lives in me. But where's the reality? You see, this is not just talk. That's why I said here the other day that God has raised up men and women across the earth today who are not just giving you a word, they have become the word. And until you have become the word, until you can speak words of spirit and life, forget about ministry. We just need a simple revelation of the word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's was God's plan and his purpose from the very beginning of time. Ephesians talks about an eternal past. God planned something. Well, what did he plan? He planned that humanity would express his life on the earth. And if you can really believe the scriptures, and see, what happens is we read scriptures and then we get into the reasoning mind. We get into the Adamic mind to try to reason it out. But Paul told the Ephesians, he said, you have been chosen in him even before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and without blame. Well, see, if you hear that with the Adamic ears, you'll say, well, that must not have been me. I've been a Christian for maybe 20 years, and boy, that's not me. But see, he's not speaking that to the Adamic race. He's speaking that to the seed of Christ. And Paul says, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed? So he doesn't speak to the Adamic man. He speaks to Christ. And he says, even before the foundation of the world, I have chosen you to be holy and without blame before me in love. Well, when you begin to understand, and you can divide and separate your Adamic consciousness from Christ consciousness, for the word of God in Hebrews 4:12 is living and operative even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, Adam and Christ. So when you begin to walk in the revelation of Christ, you begin to be very clearly can see in your very own consciousness, this is Adam, this is Christ. And then you begin to turn your focus to repent. Repent simply means change your mind. you begin to see very clearly the difference between the Adamic mind and the Christ mind that resides within you. And you'll be able then to put on, as Paul told the Ephesians, put on the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you. Let it be in you. And you do that by renewing the mind. You can't tell all of this in one message, but it's all there in the scriptures. Sometimes I try to do that.
The everlasting God.
Yeah. But see, the things of God are so simple. And our religious leaders and people with religious mindsets, they've so confused and so complicated the simplicity of the word. But see, these are the works of the devil. The works of the devil is the carnal mentality, the carnal religious thinking. The religious people who will tell you all the things you have to do to gain God's favor, that's the works he came to destroy. The devil is not some person out here on the outside of you, and all of these doctrines we've developed about, you know, pulling down spirits and airwaves and all the time our carnality. The real Antichrist is keeping us in darkness. And you say, oh, don't you say I'm Antichrist. Do you ever have a sensation from God that he wants you to do something and you don't do it? That is the Antichrist spirit. Anything in your consciousness, in your being, that says no to God is Antichrist. That is the tear. That is the human thinking. And that is what he's burning up in these days. It's not about a man out here somewhere that's going to come. Forget it. When you discover the revelation of Christ in you, you then begin to have the experience of an overcomer. Because you're not looking within your Adamic consciousness. You're looking through the eyes of the Spirit, and you realize that the only way that you will ever overcome, the only way that you will ever, you know, be purged from all of your habits and your sins and your faults is if Christ in you begins to rise. And the way he begins to rise in you is by you taking the time to spend in his presence and to search out the scriptures and take advantage of the strongs. Anybody that will take advantage even of the Strong's, you know, concordance can learn that there is no such thing as an eternal hell where you're going to be tormented forever and ever. You can find that out by using the Strong's. Doesn't mean there is no hell. Doesn't mean there isn't a lake of fire. It simply means your interpretation of it has been wrong. The interpretation of the fire in Revelation is the word pur, which we get our words purify and purge from. So, you see, we are all a product of the wheat and the tare. And it's the tare that goes into the fire and will be burned. You're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven by flesh and blood, by human effort. That is going to be consumed by the power of his Spirit and his word. And you will someday, all of us will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. You will one day stand on this earth in the full glory and manifestation of that which you were created for. Because he chose you to be that before the foundation of the world. And you also have to realize that God is no respecter of persons. We talked to a man this week, Dave and I, who said... I asked him, I said, well, brother, do you really believe God is a respecter of persons? He said, no. And then I said, well, how can you believe that he chose some people and not the rest? And I forget what kind of an answer he made. But he said, on one hand, God loves you. But on the other hand, if you don't do what he says, he's going to torture you throughout eternity. And that's why I say that Christians, you know, Christians have a false God. Christians, you know what a false God is, an idol? It's an image that you create out of your mind to worship. And they have created. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm saying that we have been totally hoodwinked by religious teaching. That's all. We haven't understood the pure gospel. And for you to say out of one side of your mouth, God loves you unconditionally, but then on the other side say that he's going to torture you eternally if you don't do what he says, is double talk. And people say, well, you know, you choose to go to hell. God don't send you there. Well, the word tells us that he created it. So if God created a place where the majority of humanity will suffer eternally, then he's a monster and no God. Getting awful quiet in here.
Pretty bold call God a monster.
That's the point. He is not.
God's love.
You see, he loves you enough. You will experience the lake of fire, and you'll learn, and you will one day be very, very sorry and repent, but you won't be lost eternally. You might pay to the very last farthing. You may experience tormentors being raised up in your life to torment you until you realize the perverseness of your ways, but you will not be eternally damned. God has never lost any of his creation, and he never will. No more preaching of duality, of God being, you know, a monster and loving. I mean, those things, and we have to believe that as Christians. Now, the reason I say we have to believe that is because we've been taught that the scriptures are the word of God, and they're infallible, and they cannot lie. But what we haven't understood is that in the translations, the teaching of eternal torment was brought in by the Catholic Church to keep their people in fear and bondage of leaving the church. And even right today, if you leave the Catholic Church, not in all of them, some of them have a little bit better sense, but my wife was told a few years ago, she was in the convent and she heard God speak audibly to her and she left the convent. She was told, if you leave the convent, you'll go to hell. See, they still hold that. They keep people in bondage and fear of eternal torment to keep them in and bound to the religion of Catholicism. That's where it originated. God is not like unto a man. You see, it's man. It's the Adamic consciousness who will treat you good if you treat them good. You see, today I love you dearly. But tomorrow when you do something bad to me, I'll say, how in the world can they do that after all I've done for them? And I will have feelings of anger and resentment, and I'll want to torture them. So you see, that's, men have taken the image of an incorruptible God and made him like unto corruptible man. It's man who will punish you if you don't do what he wants, not God. God will simply, he'll bring you correction, he'll bring you judgment, he'll whip your fanny. But he does it out of love, not out of retribution and anger. You see, we've made God like unto ourselves. And he is not a man. You see, and God will look at you when you're trying to be this thing, and he'll say, who are you? You know? You're just a man. You're not God. Yet when we have a shift in consciousness, and Christ begins to be manifested in our life, you will hear him say, this is my beloved Son. This is once again God being raised up in humanity. Once again, God has a body on the earth, speaking forth words of spirit and life, and bringing healing and restoration and reconciliation to all of creation. That's what you have when you destroy the works of the devil, the works of the carnal mind. Anybody have any questions?
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity.